that we need to, you know, raise our battle level a little bit. Montreal is a tremendous first period team. They jump on you. They're quick. They've got a pretty good battle level. They're playing really well, and we knew that coming in. And that first period was really important, and we failed in that. We dug ourselves a tremendous hole. And we got to put more skin in the game. We don't have enough skin in the game. You can't win at this time of year unless you put more skin in the game to earn points. So we got exactly what we deserve today.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles, and the only Islanders podcast that wants to know which is crashing harder and faster, the stock market or Thomas Grice's save percentage. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who can carry a tune just as well as Matt Barzal carries the puck into the offensive zone, Mr. Ben Cohen.
Thank you. I like that.
I thought I needed to get a better reaction, so I'm putting these on a tee for you guys this week after last week.
Because last week you gave me all these, you hyped us up, and then I just was like, no, I'm not that good.
Yeah, no, this was way better, Ben. I'm happy. And we are lucky to be joined by a man who will hit you with his opinion faster than the Islanders will turn the puck over on the power play. Kenny Yavero.
That's pretty good. I appreciate that, Damon. That's pretty accurate.
Well, I mean, judging by the week that we've had so far, I think I put more thought into this intro and effort than the Islanders did in their last two games. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you say that it was telling when in the Bruins game I texted you guys, anyone else noticed that Devon Taves is becoming Nick Leddy? And then he turned the puck over on the power play in the defensive zone and they scored a shorty in the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ugly. I mean, let's just get right to it. A game against the Blues, which, you know, you lose in overtime and you had the game. They were up 2-0. Eberle had a great goal and they just took the foot off the gas completely. And they were just waiting for something to happen. It was like Jack Capuano era Islanders, where if they had a lead, you knew they weren't going to get any shots to the net. They were just going to sit back, wait, play like scared hockey. So you knew that was coming. It was only a matter of time. And then on Butch Goring's day, when you've got an emotionally charged Coliseum, and really a great ceremony to just completely get embarrassed by the Bruins. And then, you know, you follow that up with, you know, Trotz, as you heard at the top of the show, you know, really has nothing left to squeeze out of this group. I mean, he ran them hard in practice. You know, he said he had some pointed words and a pointed meeting with them. For them to then come out and just get shelled by Montreal again at home is embarrassing. And I think it's indicative of where this team has been the last 2 months. And I think it's finally coming to a head with, what, 17 games left? And you're finally starting to see the wheels are coming off the wagon. And I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah.
Neither do you guys.
Apparently. I mean, no, honestly, I mean, just look at the schedule. I mean, remember, going into February, we were saying, you know, the Islanders are playing, you know, every other day, basically, and flying all over. Is it possible that they're just a little tired? I mean, they are a little banged up, but I mean, are they just tired? Like, is running them hard in practice really going to do anything? I don't know.
That does make a lot of sense because since the streak, really, the best hockey they've played was right out of the 10-day break. After the overtime loss to, I believe it was Vancouver at home right after the break.
Yeah, which they played great in. It was just
they had like six or seven, like maybe six of seven or 5-0-2 in their first seven games out of the break. So it makes sense that tiredness is the issue, or at least part of it. The problem is that it's not, the schedule isn't going to get any easier. And you can make excuses all you want, and I think it's wise to point out that tiredness will has and might still be affecting this team in a big way, but they've got to figure out how to overcome it, because I mean, with the way that other teams are playing, they might actually still make the playoffs playing as shit as they are, but you can't limp into the playoffs and do well. That's just not how it works.
Well, I mean, I hear what you guys are saying, but I don't buy it. I'm sorry, but every team travels. Every team's got a terrible schedule. I mean, we probably travel less than a majority of the teams in the league. So to say it's fatigue, I just don't. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Like, I just don't.
I mean, our schedule's tired. Pretty bad, though, right? Every I mean, team would you say tired, our schedule? Though. Our schedule is particularly pretty bad.
I mean, dude, compared to who? Like, really? I mean, you're focused on the Isles because you know you're an Islander fan, but like, I mean. Would you like to be the Hurricanes? All of March, every weekend, they have a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Every weekend in March. Like, every team gets screwed by the schedule makers. Yeah. Every team's got – like, would you rather be in the West? Where, like, how'd you like to be like the Blues?
Yes. They're stuck out there.
Right. They're a Midwest team.
We're first place in the Western Conference, probably. I haven't even looked at the standings. But it's a joke.
Okay. I meant from a travel
standpoint. No, I get it. I know. But this Western trip, though, coming up, I think that's going to be make or break. Just getting away, like, that could be huge. And we, you know, we could win games out there. Those are winnable games, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton. So,
I mean, if I told you guys that you had, like, that the Islanders had a road game against Washington and then, like, the following day against Philly, like, you'd say, like, 0-2, right? Like, the way that everybody's playing. But the beginning of February, they won both of those games.
Won both of the games.
Right, right. So, like, what is going on with
We're well rested. And I think maybe they're a little banged. Well, they're banged up. I mean, they don't. All right.
Bro, they were not well rested. Okay, so I want to put this well rested nonsense to rest. Get it? Okay, listen.
Yeah.
They played leading up to that Washington-Philadelphia game, they had 5 games in 7 days. 8 days, sorry, 5 and 8. And the last two games 4 and 5 in day 7 and 8, were back-to-backs, and they won those games. So it's not fatigue, man. Like, it's not. I'm sorry.
I would say a couple things. One, I don't think that fatigue is black and white, where you're going to be exhausted on the third, on the fourth day of a 3 games in 4 nights. I mean, it could be. But I think fatigue has a lot to do with how you're playing. It has a lot to do with how many minutes you're playing. Matt Barzal, I think, has had 10 straight games with 20-plus minutes. The Islanders have had a lot of playing 5.5D. And by 5.5D, I really mean closer to 5D, because Boychuk and Dobson, like, together play what, like, Pulak plays, which works for some teams. But that's not how the Islanders function. The Islanders roll 4 lines, and they cannot roll 4 lines, and they haven't been able to roll 4 lines in ages. And it's not an excuse, because every team has excuses. And up until a week ago, the Penguins were one of the best teams in the league with, you know, one of the worst injury situations in the league. But the Islanders we've had a difference of opinion about Damon. You were saying, like, if Matt Barzal goes down, the Islanders are fucked. And I agree with you, but one thing that the Islanders have that's unique from the rest of the league, if, and, you know, we know in hindsight, Casey Cizikas goes down, we're fucked. How many other teams can you say that about their fourth line center? Now, sure, it's that we, you know, you can say, all right, we have the same schedule and different, the Hurricanes have back-to-backs, but it's not always about how much you're playing. It's about the rest that individual guys get, because Matt Barzal and Brock Nelson have to play 20 minutes, and you have to play Derek Brassard 5 minutes more than you want to, because he's, like, the only guy you can play. Or you have to play Bailey at center, where he's kind of shit, or you have to play Komarov at center, where he's kind of shit, or Komarov in general, where he's kind of shit. And you're looking at a shit team. And then you look at the Islanders with everyone healthy, and you're looking at the identity line, you're looking at Pageau with, you know, ideally a couple good wingers. You're looking at Lee Barzal, Allen Eberle, who actually have looked pretty good. And then you've got
I'll give them that. Nelson. For sure.
Yeah, and then you've got you have to pick out of Bailey, Beauvillier, Del Cole ish, Bell. No, Pageau will say is the third line center. But I'm saying out for the wingers of the middle six, you've got your choice of Bailey, Beauvillier. I'm forgetting somebody.
I mean, the way Nelson's playing, I don't think he's really the second line center. He's looked
then,
like
he is by default, then, but I agree.
I guess. I mean, the guys look terrible. The
middle
past
six
month.
Is killed this team. Besides Pageau, the middle six has absolutely destroyed this team because the first line, even games that they're not scoring, they've been pretty good. But you look at Broussard, you look at Leo Komarov, you look at Beauvillier. They're not scoring goals, and then you know you lump Brock Nelson into that. I mean, there is a void.
Bailey too, you know. Bailey.
Oh yeah, no, step absolutely. It up,
Bailey absolutely. Nelson really have been the ones I put the most blame on. I guess the next guy would be Broussard and Beauvillier, but I didn't expect as much from them. I expect more out of Bailey and Nelson, and they just have been honestly playing like shit the past 10-15 games.
I think that the way the Islanders work is they have that fourth line and then you have everyone moving up and then you've got that line that starts the game and we have opinions on whether Cizikas is too good for his wingers.
No, but Casey keeps everyone accountable. You know what I mean? Like that's basically what he does.
And they start the game and then you've got the Nelson line coming out and that's a two-way line with Nelson and Beauvillier and I still think it should be Bailey even though that, you know, it's hasn't worked recently. To me, there's just that like order accountability where Nelson can't be the first guy, but he's a damn good second guy. And right now he's the first guy because like the Lee Eberle and Barzal line is great going forward, but have kind of, you know, the wheels have come off defensively a little bit to my mind over the last few months. And so Nelson is like the leading defensive center and he can't be that. Maybe
well, he's not playing that way, Ben. And so if we break it down, because I mean, I was kind of thinking for this episode, it's like, well, what does Barry do here? Because he sounds frustrated. He looks pissed off and frustrated. And I can't imagine that this goes on for long. So let's break it down into, I think, the three groups. We're already talking about forwards. So let's keep it rolling with that. Brock Nelson, if he's hurt, he needs to shut it down for a little bit because right now he's not doing much of anything. He got that big goal to tie it up late against the Rangers, but and he got a garbage goal against Montreal. But, like, he's not stepping up. He's not playing physical. His passes are not good. His shots are off the mark. He's floating around. I mean, it's different than even when he's normally invisible. He's just flat out bad right now, and that's not helping. And then you look at the wings. I mean – really, I don't give anyone a pass in the middle six except for Pageau because he's had two goals in four games and he's learning the system and he's winning faceoffs. Other than that, the middle six has been terrible. The bottom three, you know, our quote-unquote fourth line, if you really look at it, and no Cal's coming back from an injury, but if you really look at it, without Casey Cizikas, him and Matt Martin are useless out there. They just are. And eventually, you're going to see that if you haven't already. They can't do anything without Casey because Casey is that whole line. I think everybody needs to get off of the identity line and start talking about the identity center because you can play Casey with anybody and that line's going to play like that because, like you said, he holds them all accountable. So we've got way too much, you know, fat on this team that needs to be trimmed. We've got way too much driftwood. We've got way too much passengers, whatever you want to call it. You don't have enough guys stepping up. You've got basically one line, the Eberle Lee Barzal line, and then you've got a whole lot of nothing going on.
Yeah, and I mean, if you really think of the type of hockey player that Barry Trotz wants, you know, he's creative player, it would be look a lot like Casey. So, I mean, it would look way more like Casey than it does Nelson, you know? So as much as people want to say he's the fourth line center or even the third line center, at times like this when you're struggling, he's probably getting like just as much ice time as Barzal in certain games because he just can do everything. Like, he's just a perfect guy. We need him back, and he's not coming back for a couple of weeks after what Lou said, right?
Yeah, so he's still behind. He's behind his timetable. He's on the third week, and he was supposed to come back in 3 to 4 weeks. He's not even skating yet. It's not looking good for
he
that.
Said, and he's like, oh, he's walking. Like, oh, is that a? I thought he was already walking. Like, so what was he doing? And it was, you know, fucking wheelchair for the past 3 weeks.
It's scary. It's scary. And I'll tell you something else, and then Ben, I'm sure you'll have something to say about this, but like, if you're fourth line center is that pivotal to your team where if he goes down for a few weeks, your season's over, there's a larger problem that has to do with roster construction than like you can't have one defenseman and one fourth line and a fourth line center go down and then say, well, pack it up, we're done. Like, that's not good. Like, you've got a 23-man roster. No one can step up. Like, no one has stepped up on this team.
I think Nelson's got to get moved. Nelson's got to get traded. He's having a big season. I could see maybe moving him. Maybe you move him to Minnesota for Parise. Would you do it? I would.
I think that creates a big
not for straight up, but
void. I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Pacho, Barzal
in our centers. I mean, I think it's more the wings. I think it's the wings, man. I think when you talk about the Islanders' lack of punch up front, I think you have to talk about the wings. I think that is where, you know, just go down the line, guys. There for every one good winger, I can name you three terrible wingers on this team. And I would say that there's probably not even, there's maybe two good wingers on this team. Like, if you really look at it, Komarov, Ladd, Brassard, Martin, Dal Cole, Johnston, Kunackle, Bailey. Like, who's, like, really? Who is, like, scaring you when I name, and I'm leaving the first line out of it, Clutterbuck. You know, you don't have, like, those are not good wingers. I'm sorry. Those are not good wingers. I named you fourth line players, almost every single one of them. Bailey's a role guy. He can fit in the second line. He can fit in the third line, and then you've got Beauvillier, who's got a bit of a motor on him. He's still young. He's learning the game. So to me, you've got Lee, Eberle, Bailey, and Bovey, and Bailey and Bovey have been underperforming. So that's your top crop. The rest of those guys that I named, every single one of those, if those guys were off the team tomorrow, you wouldn't blink.
Yeah, yep,
no, for sure. I would agree with like almost everything you said. First of all, except Nelson, I think Nelson's pivotal. I think he's picking a really bad time to have a slump. That being said, if you think about it, we've had, you know, this Brock Nelson for what, 16 months now, and he's gone from a guy that we were like okay with losing him with the arbitration shit, and we were just like fine with that and didn't really care, to a guy that was the best second line center on the market, and we got him on a better deal, on a much better deal than the Flyers got Kevin Hayes on. And Nelson, we're looking at Nelson as a better player than Kevin Hayes, and we would not be having that conversation 2 years ago. And when you look at this, that we've talked on this podcast so much about that depth down the middle. When you look at that core that the Islanders have on defense, and yes, Adam Pellick is injured, and he is 100% part of that core. You've got Sorokin, and whether we like it or not, Varlamov. And then you've got four kick-ass centers to have one of the best center depth in the league. Certainly the best bottom six center depth in the league, and I'm not going to have anyone's argument about the fact that we have a top five third line center and a top one fourth line center in the league. No conversation, no competition. And a good second line center on a good contract and a good first line center on his rookie deal. And I just don't think you can pass up the opportunity to have that for 3-4 years. I mean, depends on how, I mean, you got to assume that they'll re-sign Cizikas. They have to. I mean, you got to give him whatever he wants because he is the backbone of this team. And one of the things you were leading with, Damon, about it's you can't have a defenseman and a fourth line center go down and have the team capitulate. I agree with everything except the specificity. I don't think you can't have two players go down and have that kill your team. I don't think it matters which two players they are. I don't think we should be undervaluing the importance that a fourth line center should have, because I think that's putting not a stereotype, but sort of like an outline to what a hockey team should be. And the Islanders showed you last year that they're not what a hockey team should be. There's something different, and they're good for a different reason, or were good for a different reason, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Past tense there.
Yeah. And they were good for a different reason. And so Cizikas going down is not a fourth line center going down. And what's wrong with that is not that a fourth line center going down kills your team. It's that a player going down kills your team, to my mind. Right. Players have
they're too thin. Their roster's too thin.
Right.
I get it. When Casey went down, you knew that that it wasn't going to be the same team, but you didn't think that they were going to not score ever again. I mean, it's anemic. It's anemic, and it's because you don't have good wingers. I would say our center depth is probably between an A- and a B+, right? I would say our wingers are a D at best. At best.
Yep. Okay, and but that's the problem. I'm going to give you a statement, and you're going to tell me agree or disagree. Ballpark, what do you think our collective team save percentage is since Cizikas went down? Like 890 or something? Something like that?
No, because Varley had a couple of really good games in there, so I think, okay, it's higher than that. I think it's 905.
Okay. Tell me the goaltender's save percentage would not have been higher had Cizikas not gone down. Agree or disagree? Would it have been higher or the same?
I think it would have been the same.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the effect that he has on the team, it's making other players better. It's that system of when you would look at the heat maps of where the shots come in, they're all in the corners. That's Cizikas and that's Adam Pellick. They're the backbone of this team. And the issue is not that, you know, a fourth line center and a left defenseman go out and your team is fucked. The issue is two players go down and your team is fucked. People have to be able to step up for Pellick. It's not that and Cizikas. The issue is not that, like, Cizikas is too important. It's that we don't have somebody else to step in for him. Look at guys like Brassard and guys like Komarov. We're talking about, like, veterans of the game that are not stepping up. And you're looking at the guys who are stepping up, and you're looking at, like, Matt Barzal, and earlier in the year, Anthony Beauvillier. And, it's hard to find guys that are stepping up right now. The guys that were in the past, like, earlier you could say, right out of the gates, after the break, Devon Taves was playing some of his best hockey, Scott Mayfield was. We're talking about young guys leading the team. And the guys holding it down are like Nick Leddy, Leo Komarov, and at times Johnny Boychuk. I mean, I like struggle to say a bad word about him because of what happened to him last night.
Scary. Which he almost loses his eye. Takes a skate to the face. 90 stitches. Can I read his tweet though, and then we'll get back to this, because this tweet is classic Johnny Boychuk. He says thank you to everyone for positive messages and thoughts. I am extremely grateful. Please know they did not go unheard. Luckily for me, the skate only cut my eyelid. Sorry for the late response. Facial recognition wasn't working. Thank you again, my friends, Johnny B.
Oh, that's so funny. Anyway, but like if we're being serious and trying to, you know, withhold bias, he's been pretty weak recently too. There's a reason why he's been playing 14 minutes a night.
Ben, I'm I'm going to constantly go back to this. You knew what Brassard was when you signed him. You knew what Leo Komarov was when you signed him.
Yeah, they were supposed to.
You know that Letty's aging and has not been good. You know that Johnny Boychuk is aging. So to not do anything and then expect a different outcome is stupid.
But Damon, they were supposed to be leaders. Look at who carried this team last year. Who put this team on their back last year?
I mean, if I had to say somebody, I would say it would be Robin Leonard.
Yep. But if you had to pick like five guys who carried this team last year, Robin Leonard, Casey Cizikas, Brock Nelson,
Barzal.
Barzal, Everly. Okay, yeah. But yeah. Character wise. Like, yeah. With the exception of the most talented player on the team, we're talking about veterans. And there is no veteran leadership right now except for Johnny Boychuk, who is like the best leader ever.
Don't confuse veteran leadership with talent, because those are different things. You can – like, that's one thing that cracks me up. Like, and again, you heard at the beginning the quote that we – you know, from Barry Trotz, you need to battle hard. We need to battle hard. We need more skin in the game. Like, don't tell me that these guys aren't trying. It has nothing to do with that. These guys don't have the talent to keep up with some of these teams. And I'm sorry, but, like, yeah, Brassard's a veteran. So is Andrew Ladd. So is Leo Komarov. So is Tom Kunackel.
Right, and they're
that,
all
– does that help? Does that help you? Like, it helps to a certain extent, but at the end of the day, don't you just need a little bit more skill on the ice to score goals?
Yep. But here's like, what I'm saying is that we had the same team last year. I know there's a, it's a little bit different, but, like, we had the same team last year. And
the goaltending too.
Well, that's yeah. So let's transition into that, because I think that is a big part of it. Ben, we don't have the same team. We had a shutdown third line center that scored 20 goals and took pressure off of Casey Cizikas, who also
well, we shut down third line center who scores 30 goals this season.
Okay, for four games. So chill out.
I'm just pushing your buttons.
The whole season we had Filppula. And he took pressure off of Casey and let Casey be a little bit more offensive-minded, and Casey scored 20 goals. We had a goaltender who was a Vezina finalist. Name the last time the Islanders had a Vezina finalist. You probably weren't even born. So this is not the same team. It is close to the same team. You also have a lot of guys that are not on a contract year, which don't act like or don't pretend that doesn't factor into it, because guys miraculously are better in their contract years. So you factor all that on top of the JT stuff, and that is some of the intangibles that you can't measure, and that is definitely a part of it. The other part of it is goaltending. Thomas Greiss in the last 10 games has been awful. You cannot rely on him. So Barry's had to put too much effort and too many starts on Varley, and you can't rely on him either to an extent. And this is what you have now. Last night, we couldn't get a save. You see Thomas Greiss in the net now. As an Islander fan, tell me that you're not scared shitless when he is in between the pipes.
I mean, listen, that first goal, was it? Could you blame him?
Here we go.
On the Montreal game, the tip-in. I mean, if we're going to talk about goaltending, I mean, Varlamov has been way more of a disappointment than Greiss has.
I really don't agree.
I mean, I don't know like what you guys are watching, but like it's really tough for
me
to like.
I'm watching
get this.
Red light on the back of his neck, sunburning.
Oh, really? I mean, how did it go for Varlamov against Boston?
I'm not saying
we're going to talk about those first two goals not being,
saying,
you know, who's it on, then? Who's
better,
it on?
I am not
then,
saying he's better
that
goalie.
That game not happen?
Guys, since Varlamov and Greiss were both great for the first 40 games of the season, when they alternated every single game and broke some stupid record, since they stopped alternating, name me a period of more than one game in a row where Greiss was good.
He hasn't been.
Cricket.
He's back to Doug Waite.
Show me this game that Varlamov played good in that same time frame. Would he play maybe one good game? what are we talking about?
Varlamov, like a couple, like maybe last week.
They've been playing him way. What? When did Varlamov he have a good game last week?
1-4 with a .925 save percentage because we got shut out 3 games in a row.
Yeah, I mean seriously, the game against what was it? That was I think it was the
mid February. When? I'll find it.
Yeah, it was in, yeah. Well, yeah.
Mid February? It's March.
No, wasn't mid February. He had a couple of games where the Colorado game he stood on his head. The Arizona game he stood on his head.
Lost to Colorado. Those games
because they couldn't score.
Okay, ready? 2:15, the Islanders lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 1-0. 2:17, the Islanders lose to the Coyotes 2-1. 3-1. 2:19, the Islanders lose to the Avalanche 3-1. That is a whopping 2 goals in 3 games. And 6 goals against in 3 games. Two and a half really, really good teams where Varlamov stood on his head.
Yeah, he gave the Islanders a chance to win all 3 of those games, and they pissed it away because they can't score goals. So he's been bad as of late, no doubt, but he's been 100 times better than Greiss lately. There's a reason why Trotz can't put Greiss out, man. Greiss's save percentage is like 800 in the last 10 games. It's scary. Oh, yeah.
I hope that CSKA gets knocked out of the playoffs soon.
They're not, because guess what? Ilya Sorokin hasn't let in a goal in the playoffs yet.
I know, they're like, they're winning 2-0, and he is back, exactly. It's fucking ridiculous. It's no, but there is crazy, a where for him, because if he comes over and plays a game after the KHL playoffs, which will work because the KHL playoffs, even if they win the Russian Cup or whatever it is.
Aaron Cup.
Yeah. He'll be back. He'll play a game. That's, you know, it's a win for both sides because we'll have a goaltender. And then he burns his ELC so he can sign a contract in the summer.
Right. So, I think that's the plan. I think that's why Lou didn't do anything with the goaltenders during the trade deadline. I think because he met with his agent.
Post-deadline acquisition. Lou's going to sell that so hard.
Well, I mean, what else are they going to do here? I mean, you're just not getting good goaltending. I don't care who's in the net. I think we can all agree that whoever's in the net, it doesn't really matter for 2 reasons. Number one, they've both been bad. And number two, the Islanders don't score goals, so it doesn't matter. They can let in 1 goal, and they're getting shut out here, or they're scoring garbage goals at the end of the game when it's already out of reach. You can't be down 3-0. You can't be down 4-0 to these teams. You're not going to win. And they can't find a way. This roster is so limited. They cannot adjust. Barry Trotz can't go out there and say, "All right, forget the structure. Go out there and score goals," because he doesn't have the talent to do that.
For sure. It's
pretty bad. And it's definitely pretty bad.
That's the reason why these losses of Cizikas and Pelech, which, you know, if you look at it from the outside of someone who doesn't know the Islanders, you're like, a fourth line center who had a career year last year, sure, but that was like 20 goals and, you know, he was good. A defenseman who's granted been really good, but like he's a defensive defenseman. You know, it's happened to everyone. Should this really affect the Islanders that much, or are they really just like overrated? Well,
you started to see warning signs of this before they went down.
Yeah,
right?
But look how the Islanders win games. They win games like grinding them out and by taking the lead off somebody else and by forechecking hard and playing off of the line that was out before you, which played onto rolling 4 lines and always knowing the right time to pinch and when to back off and having a shit power play. But like, yeah. that's how the Islanders win games, and they can't do that when there's a hole in their defense, and they can't do that when there's a hole in their defensive offense. And there are holes in both right now. What I really hope is that they, with Boychuk out, play Dobson. They have to play Dobson.
Lou's already said Dobson's going to take his spot, and Dobson will actually be on his strong side.
Right, exactly. So Dobson's going to be on his strong side. So at least just for a couple games, let him play regular shifts. be able to roll. You get, once you get Cizikas back and you have Dobson, and we're going to assume that Boychuk is still out, roll four lines on the offense and three lines on the defense. Just let everyone play. When there was a discrepancy of more than, like, you know, 3 minutes on the defense and 5 minutes on the offense, there's something wrong with this team. And it's fucked that's needed for the team to win. And when there's no depth, we talked about it, it makes it really hard because a couple injuries and you're fucked. But that's how they win. And hopefully we'll get that in a few weeks. And we have 17 games to get some momentum before maybe even, I mean, maybe just the end of the season, but ideally the playoffs.
I mean, forget momentum. Just how about just you got 17 games to try to make the playoffs at this point.
Yeah.
Which is not gonna saying I don't think it's gonna even happen at this point. Not the way they're playing. And even if they do, they're gonna back in and they're gonna play one of the top teams in either division.
I don't care if you back in and get swept by the Bruins. Like, the point is to get momentum. You have to assume that you're gonna be there and assume that you belong. Because there's always a team that doesn't belong, and that, like, the Islanders need to create that momentum and be able to get back to that system that has worked with goaltending to my mind, Kenny talked about it, especially in the summer, and we were a little bit on him for that, but I think the way the season has gone, it's sort of played into what he was saying, you know, the early days in this podcast, which is that Leonard was amazing and Greiss was amazing, but damn, they were helped out by an amazing system. And Varlamov and Greiss this year, I mean, Greiss especially, has not been good, but they've not been helped by a good defensive system, especially since the halfway mark of the season. So if you get back to that defensive system, maybe you're going to see that uptick in goaltending. And this Islanders system, it's symbiotic. So guys do well, the other guys do well. They feed off each other. You can't have one line be accounting for all the offense. You can't have only one line be able, only one deep pairing be able to play defense and go places when you're the Islanders. That just, you can't have, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl and just not give a shit about the other 15 players.
Well, it works. It works.
Barzal hasn't been good either. You know, when you really look at it, Barzal hasn't played great. I don't know if he's trying to do too much or, you know, obviously that line has been the best for us, but he's not getting paid this year, which this could be a good thing long term for us because he's not that elite looking right now. I don't know.
I was thinking about it like the Islanders defensive system is really good for contracts. Because no one is going to put up points there where you're like, why should I pay you a shit ton? Yeah. You know?
I mean, I'm not blaming him in any way, but I'm not blaming him. But, you know, and then I look at it, it's like Brassard really probably has been the biggest disappointment for us. Like, he's a dog. He sucks.
He showed that he was not good. That's why the three teams moved on him. But we thought, you know, you can make a pitch light in a bottle. I think a large part of all of these issues is that Islanders fans and Lou Lamoriello all believed that the system was more important than the individual pieces. And I think it's a combination of both of those things. And, you know, while yes, a system will help guys like Filppula and Robin Leonard put up better numbers, they're also good hockey players that have consistently been good. I mean, Leonard, obviously, we know that story, but...
Yeah, but Lou's going to fix that, though, with Sorokin, and he kind of already fixed Brassard with Pageau, because, I mean, would you guys say that if we had Pageau for the 60 games that we'd be a little better in the standings? I mean, I think we would, maybe a five-point cushion.
Agreed. I definitely think that.
So at least he did that. It just sucks that he's not going to have that impact on us right now, like... Can't expect him to turn the team around either, but
well, and let's so let's finish up. Let's talk about the D. Then we'll have covered all the facets of the game. I'm not talking about the power play because it doesn't matter who coaches it. It's the personnel. They needed to change that. Whatever it is not working. You've got the same guys. You've got a different coach. I don't care who coaches that power play. It's not going to be good putting the same guys out there.
So would you call up anyone from AHL?
Let's get to that in a second. Defense, I want to just talk about the D. I don't think it's been bad, but I think they've been burned on giveaways and their goaltending is not bailing them out. I don't think they've been terrible.
I don't think they've been great. They've been soft.
Nick Leddy has been soft. Johnny Boychuk's, you know, he started.
No, he battles. Strong, he battles, been, though.
He battles. He battles. But at some point, man, you don't know. You know, Dan Girardi battled, too. He ran out of gas.
Yeah, I don't think Boychuk's been that bad. He's been better than Leddy, right? And he's strapped to Letty's hips. Like, I kind of feel bad for Boychuk. He's got to play with him. Leddy just concedes pucks for no reason. Like, he doesn't even want contact. He's like, just get in there and take the puck. Use your legs. He doesn't even want to do it. And you see Boychuk really giving it his all. And he's, you know, he's effective, but he's also not 30 years old anymore. But I don't know. Yeah, you got to try and move Leddy. Jeez. I mean, you know how I feel about him. And most Islander fans all feel the same now. It's like the guys, he's our worst defenseman by far.
Yeah. I'd like to see. So I think the D has been okay. Taves, you know, like you said, Ben, he had that really bad giveaway. And it just the effort hasn't been there. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're taking their foot off the gas. I don't know, but they need to figure that out. I don't think the D is the problem. I think it's part of it, but I think the bigger issue is the goal scoring and the goaltending. So let's get into what it would take to fix this, because I think we would probably all say that Lou has an idea that Sorokin's coming over and that's going to solve the goaltending and Greiss is going to walk, correct?
When's the earliest that can happen?
I think after the playoffs are over.
When does the KHL playoffs stop, assuming they go to the finals and win it? Would it be before?
I mean, they're in the first round right now, so I can't imagine it being, you know, longer than, you know.
It would be before the playoffs, but not by that much, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Like last 3-4 games, maybe.
He could come here and change everything, you know. This team might just need like a shutout by someone. Like, we deserve this so much. Like, come on.
Would they do that? Would they throw him in the last couple of games of the season and be like, okay, you've never Greiss played North America before. Here you go.
We certainly put him as the backup over Greiss.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the way Varlamov's playing, he'll be in by the first game.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's a good. Don't forget too, he's an asset, and you don't want to just throw him in the deep end and get him lit up by shooters that he's never seen before on rinks that are smaller and different angles. Like, it's not.
I think he's gonna be okay.
I think he'd be fine, but I would have rather him, you know, start.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but he's not.
Maybe squeeze him in. You can't do that, right? Can you squeeze him in for a game or two, or is it just a matter?
I think you can. So I think that would solve the goaltending. You don't have anybody in the system. You don't have any other help. It's Sorokin or bust. And, you know, it's more looking like bust right now. So we'll see. We'll see. That's the goaltending. Defense, I think you're gonna play Dobson on his strong side, and you're gonna probably call up Hickey or Aho as a seventh defenseman and just pray.
I'll say that Buddy has played his best hockey of the year with Noah Dobson. Actually, that's not true. I think Leddy actually played really well when Boychuk was out, but Boychuk wasn't out. It was just before they got Andy Green after Pelech was out, and Leddy played with Pulak a little bit and with Dobson a little bit, and Leddy was playing some of his best hockey, to my mind. So maybe he just needs a shakeup, but...
Leddy's checked out, man. Like, you just see it, man. There's no fire in that dude's eyes. Like, there's no fire in his eyes. He is so mentally checked out. It's just pointless.
He's got no heart.
No.
But I think Leddy, at some point, you sort of just understand, and it's almost like beating a dead horse to talk about it, you know? So I'm thinking, like, the guy that's really disappointed me over the last few weeks was Taves. I was 2-3 weeks ago, we had a show, I think it was just Damon and I, where it was running a little bit long, and I was dying to bring up how great I thought Taves had been. And I was, you know, on Hockey Reference, and he had been especially I was going to talk about how he's better defensively while still putting up points, a little bit of a resurgence in that regard as well. And damn, since I've said that, he has fallen off a cliff.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Ben, because we didn't talk about it. But you remember you asked me a question, and you asked about, I don't remember if you asked specifically about Taves or you said, like, I want to talk about a defenseman and blah, blah, blah. And we got onto the Taves subject, and you were surprised when I said, I think he's not been great. You remember that?
A little bit. Well, I think that was off air, actually, because that was that day.
So you wanted to talk about how good Taves was, and I thought you were going to talk the other way. And I get the numbers and all that, but what you're seeing now is what I saw a few weeks ago when I was saying there's warning signs coming, and he's putting up numbers, and he's leading the rush and all that stuff, but he's not making good decisions in his own zone. He hasn't been burned yet. Now he's been burned. Now you're seeing it. So that's where I was kind of leaning towards on that I thought he could maybe, you know, step up a little bit and be a little bit safer. Let, you know, give the puck to the forwards and use your speed to get up in front, and instead of, you know, trying to force things a little bit. And I think that's what he's been doing now. And I think they're all doing that. They're all a little guilty of forcing things a little bit right now. So as far as D goes, I don't think they have much to go. They've got what they've got, and that's, you know, the position that they're in. So I don't think you're going to get much better there. I think where you can make some changes is up front, but I don't think we're going to see it. And the only thing I would do differently, and this is like the stereotypical podcaster, you know, wants new things and isn't taking into account anything else, but I want my third line to be J.G. Pageau with Wahlstrom and Bellows. Sorry. Somebody needs to score a goal here. So you got to do something. And I don't care how many times you put Michael Dalcol out there or you put Leo Komarov on the second line, on the third line, on the fourth line, and Clutter's back and all that. Those guys are not going to score goals for you. And that is what we need. So I think, what do you have to lose? And I know, oh, well, if you burn a year on Wahlstrom, I don't care. Get him up here. Maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. You've got two scoring wingers with a defensively responsible third liner. You saw success on the third line last year when you had Filppula playing with some of the younger kids. Why not do that now?
Would you buy out Komarov's contract in the summer?
Yes.
He's not that All right, out of all the guys, I'm okay with him the most. I mean, the guy could at least kill a penalty. He's like, get his nose in there and start something after the whistle. I mean, you got to – listen, it counts as something. You can't – this is not – like, he has more – just as much of an effect on the game as Dalcol does. Yeah, his contract is getting paid more, but the guy at least – he at least tries and battles and, like, starts stuff and, like, it means something, guys. Like – really? Am I alone on this? Or...
Can I say in the last like 5-10 games, and that was the other thing that I disagreed when in like forwards that you isolated that have been bad. I think last 5-10 games, Michael Dalcol has been good. Like not overly good, not good for like a player, very good for Michael Dalcol and good for a player on a
minute. He's got four goals in like, 51 games.
I know, Ben. Like,
Komarov has four goals. Komarov got more points than Dalcol with 10 games long.
Okay. Do you want Leo Komarov's minus in the last 10 games?
This is what I'm saying.
How did he survive that hit, though, guys? What kind of helmet does this guy have? Like, honestly.
Did you see that twisted picture of him, like, grinning, like, all, like, strangely with the blood coming down his face, too? Like, that was a weird picture, man.
You know what? Like, honestly, that's a serious look. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And, Ben, I get what you're saying, and I know I understand the argument, but this is how shell-shocked Islanders fans are. Like, you can't justify either of them. And we're sitting here trying to say, well, would you rather have this or that? I don't want either. I don't.
All right, but they're not good fourth enough. Liner. Who would you rather have on your fourth line?
But that's
honestly speaking, Michael Dalcol.
Wait, Komarov. He plays the body. He could kill a penalty.
Michael Dalcol hits too, bro. Like,
does he though?
Yes,
but that's the point James making
like
is
bumping into people. It doesn't. It's
on
not
your
a hit.
Fourth line, you don't really want to. You don't really want to have either. You don't want to be having this conversation. You want to be having the conversation of how do we get Bellows in, not how do we keep Bellows out. Especially when you're playing like shit.
It's supposed to be like a guy who could score, but he's stuck in like an idiot's body. Like, he just sucks. Like, just get him out of here. Like,
yeah, neither of them help. One of them costs $4 million and one of them does not.
Yeah, it's easier to get rid of Doc Hall, though. You could just waive
him. Sure, it is, but what benefit does that? That's another roster spot where you've got to throw millions at. I don't understand why we can't put scoring wingers on a team that needs scoring wingers.
Kamara's not the problem. We shouldn't even be talking about it. He's not the problem.
No, but he's, again, and we've talked about this before, he blocks a roster spot, and you have enough guys like that. Clutterbuck is back. He can play the
bottom
body.
Six role. Komarov's taking up a bottom six role. Like, what position do you think Wallstrom's going to come in here and play in a penalty kill and, like, block shot?
I said before, I want them centered by J.G. Pageau, and I want to actually have a threat on the third line. I'm tired of having three fourth lines on the team.
The penalty kill shouldn't be an issue. When you look at the players the Islanders have for a penalty kill, you've got Cizikas and Clutterbuck when healthy. You've got Beauvillier, who's turned into a killer penalty killer, Pageau, and then Nelson's also a good penalty killer. That's five that I can name off the top of my head. And then between, like, Martin and whoever else fucking plays, someone can kill a penalty. I'm not so worried about that. I want people to score goals.
We need goals, man. We're not scoring goals. Like, we can – I get it. Play the body, try hard. That's all great. That's like beer league. Like, oh, he's a good guy. He plays the body and he tries. Like, it's not NHL quality.
If Komarov has good positioning, he
bro, Komarov can't score a goal. Like, there's a 2-on-1, and he's got a better chance of hitting the net above the glass than he does scoring.
He's not there to score goals, like, really. I don't think that's his thing, really.
Some of them are like that. Like, we need goal scoring, and he's not there to score goals, so that's part of the problem. And I'm not just – I don't want to just focus on Komarov. Again, I named, like, 10
like,
guys.
Broussard should be sat over Komarov. Like, if we're really talking about, like, quality of ice time, what the guy's doing out there, like, Broussard's way more of a problem. Like,
any
for us
of
to be
them, man. Sit them, yeah. Any of them. I'm yeah. good with that. Like, I'm not sitting here defending anybody. I
top
want
three guys I need to be sat. Broussard, Nelson, Bailey. I would sit them all in one game.
And you know, and what, it gets this back is me to that. Oh, go ahead.
It gets back to that point of the same reason why I didn't want to get rid of Nelson. You now have four centers where a winger in the AHL or in the Islanders organization right now, or a free agent or a trade target. It's like, okay, I'd be down with playing with any of those guys.
Right.
If you're Kiefer Bellows and you get called up, you don't give a shit if you're playing with Pageau or with Nelson. You're being put in a position to succeed. And if you don't, from a fan's perspective, from a critic's perspective, you can say, all right, he needs to do a little bit better with that. If you're putting him next to Broussard and Dal Colle, you're like, okay, we're putting him in a position to fail, and that's not his – you can't expect a guy coming up with his first NHL games to be able to get out of that. You have to put him in a position –
you know what the, you know what the most disgusting part of that is? You know what the most disgusting part of that whole thing is? The only reason why Bellows was called up was to showcase him for Minnesota. He was supposed to be in that trade. That is the only reason why. And that's what pisses me off. Yes. That was the only reason why. The kid scores twice, looks good, and where is he now? He's back in the black hole, the Brent Thompson black hole, Bridgeport. Second to worst team in the whole fucking league.
I think for us to fix our offense and take a step, I honestly am going to say something. We have to move either one of Nelson or Bailey. They put up points. They have reasonable contracts. You can move them for another guy that you think is a good number two center, because in my opinion, number two center is Pageau, and he's going to prove it next year when he plays a full season with this team and whatever wingers they put him with. And this is the time of year that a guy like Nelson or Bailey need to step it up and do something, and they're not. And you guys a couple of weeks ago called out Lee and Eberle for not doing shit, and they both stepped it up since then, and those other guys have not done anything. So if we're talking about goal scoring, those guys got it. One of those guys got to go, and they have good contracts. So I think that's what we should do. Figure it out in the offseason, because these guys ain't going to do it. Like, where's Nelson been? These guys have no balls. They don't have no balls, dude. They're not grabbing anyone after the whistle. No one's doing nothing, dude. Nelson, I know Bailey dropped his gloves during that fight, but you know, to say that Pageau is like a tough guy. Look what he did. Game one, doesn't really give a shit. Like, drops his mitts. Nelson and Bailey, they just don't have it. They don't have it. They're just casually taking shifts. No one tries to run anybody over, ever. It's like...
Well, how about this idea? If you did trade Nelson, which I don't think they would do, but let's just go down this road. You'd get a great return for him. You move Pageau to your second line center. You move Casey to where he should be, third line center, and you find a fourth line center on the cheap in the offseason. Yep. It's not going to be within the organization. It's not Otto Koivula. Sorry, he plays scared.
That's what I would love to do, because you know what? Barzal, like, you think of like a third line set, another guy, another Trotz guy, that's Pageau. So you got, and he's trying to mold Barzal into it. And I think by having Cizikas and Pageau there, that's like two good guys to learn from as far as defensive side of the puck goes. The offense is going to come, but those, I want Barzal learning from Pageau and Cizikas, not Nelson's lazy ass. Like, he better be hurt right now.
I think Nelson's hurt, though, man. I've been saying this for weeks, dude.
If he doesn't get surgery, then it doesn't count. End of the season, he better be getting surgery.
I think you're going to learn that he was playing with a bad injury. Because, again, he's not the normal, invisible Brock Nelson. He's like – he's bad. Just, like, bad. Like, you don't just forget how to make a pass and take a shot.
He was in the right spot. He just was standing still the last two goals he scored. Right. I get it. That's part of it. But we don't – hey, bud. Carry the puck and snipe, though, buddy.
That's why I think something – you're going to find out that he had some kind of wrist problem or something, and I'll tell you why. His passes are terrible and his shots terrible, and those were his assets. It was never his speed. You know, it was his shot and his – especially his shot, and that's just not there. Like, when was the last time you saw a patented Brock Nelson wrister? Like, he's missing the net. He's flubbing shots. Like, I really think that's it. I could be wrong, but that's the only – that's the only explanation I have, because I think that old Brock Nelson's gone. I think there's something else going on
here. And he can't have it. Like, dude, with a team that already has no offense and he starts struggling, now we're here.
Yeah, this is where we are. They're lucky they're even in the playoffs.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that the Islanders used to be a team where if one guy fell off, the next guy stepped up. And that doesn't happen anymore. To me... I know it's not the same team. There's no Leonard, there's no Filppula, and the replacements aren't nearly as good. But the part where I don't really agree with you is because holy shit, we're fucking quality. Talent. But last year we had a system that made up for that. And the system is still there. There's something that's different. And I know that there's two players, but guys were picking each other up. When Nelson hit a cold streak, Barzal hit a hot streak. And when Barzal hit a cold streak, Nelson hit a hot streak. And when the guys needed a goal, there were five or six guys on the team that you were like, all right, this guy is getting you a goal. It could have been a Ryan Pulock slapper. It could have been a Barzal on the power play, you know, around the net. It could have been.
It was Filppula a lot, though.
It could have been.
It was Filppula a lot, though.
In Winnipeg. It could have been. And they didn't score a lot. They scored at the right time. They did.
Right.
You think about that Winnipeg game. Holy. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking of that game.
You're missing
that really short side in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. Yeah. Timely goals. And you just. Timely goals and timely saves.
You're missing 40 goals from your bottom two centers. That's a big part of it. That is a big – how many times when the game was nothing-nothing or 1-0 and it was close, all of a sudden Filppula comes out and pots one. And it's like, all right, here we go.
So many times.
All
the
time.
It happens
the
most out of all the guys named.
All
the
time. And then Casey'd come out and he'd score. And it's like, boom, like, here we go. And now – you just don't have that anywhere.
You're playing without Cizikas. You're playing mentally or physically without, you know, Nelson's there, but he's not there. You know, then you're missing probably your most underrated defenseman on the entire team, who I think might even be better than Pulock in another year or two. Pelech is so good. He's so underrated. He makes a mistake every once in a while, but other than that, the guy's lights out and shut, like – can skate up the rink, can shut it down, moves the puck well. You know, that hurts.
Yeah,
that hurts.
On that.
And then Dobson, I think, stepped it up too. You know, coming back, he's going
to
step up.
We'll see. This is his time now. This is his time to step up, Dobson. So let's see what, you know, they got. Look, they got a soft schedule coming up. They got to take advantage of that a little bit here and start to put some wins together. So we'll see. Before we end, I want to talk about the big announcement also on Butch Goring Day, which is that Barclays is dead. And
Thank God.
The Islanders, if some through some miracle make the playoffs, all the playoff games will be at the Coliseum, and all of next year will be at the Coliseum. You know, Gary Bettman, I think he was like, all right, well, are the Islanders going to make the playoffs? Probably not. So we'll throw them a bone. We'll tell them they can play at the Coliseum for this season. But I think it's cool that you know, all of next season is going to be at the Coli. One last final season. How many final seasons have we had at the Barn now? Is this three, two? How many
has it been? I went to the last one. I don't know.
So
okay, I have two closing things, if that's okay with you guys.
No, go for it.
One is, I'm going to be in Philly for the game in Philly. The question is, do I go?
Yeah, you can go, man, because they're loving life right now. I'm surprised you haven't heard Jules screaming in the background. They're playing Washington right now, and, like, Philly's, like, they're like, they got like a 12% chance of, like, winning the cup now. Like, all of a sudden they start winning.
I know, but that's the thing, is they're going to lose. As in, the Islanders are going to lose.
Maybe. Probably, but you never know.
Philly are beating Washington, by the way.
Are they?
In Washington.
Oh, God.
3-2, 14:39 left in the third. And unfortunately, the Blue Jackets are beating the Flames 2-0. But the other thing that I have, which is more interesting, is I have a hot take, and it's from a tweet I want to give credit to Ian Graff, or at Ian Graff, who tweeted, random question, what are the five most unlikable fan bases in the NHL? Now, first of all, I want your five. And this is off the cuff. This was not planned. I want your five.
All right, you ready? Mine's easy. Toronto, and the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer. But, like, if you – my hot take – actually, Kenny, you go first.
In Toronto, I bet you were up there. Just quick scan in the league right now. Most hated fan base? I don't know, dude. That's pretty weird.
Well, if you want to think about it, I could give you
Buffalo.
That's the top three. Buffalo, really? Buffalo, they're pretty nice. They don't have much swagger. They never won.
New Jersey. I bet you New Jersey is probably one of them up there, too.
I mean, is this like a personal thing, or is this us guessing who the top five?
No, this is like I'm just, who do you think?
All
right. Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Islanders, Toronto,
Rangers,
Montreal.
I'm going to, my top five is Toronto 1, Rangers 1B, Pittsburgh is probably 3. Habs are definitely 4th, and I'd say probably either Chicago or the Bruins are 5th, just because I'm sick of them. I'm just tired of seeing their fans everywhere. So that's my top 5.
Up that list. My hot take is that, first of all, the Islanders are on that 5 list, and I'm fine with that. Like, that's the hot take, is that if you're one of the top 5 hated fan bases in the world, unless you're being a dick about it, like, unless you're the Maple Leafs, that's a good thing. You're
Well, it's playing in the Coliseum. Remember that one year we were, like, ripping seats out, and, like, it was, like, straight up mayhem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I love.
Darcy,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, you don't want to play the Islanders in the playoffs at the Coliseum.
Exactly.
Like, no one wants.
Unless you're Boston, because Boston hasn't lost there since, like, 1983.
Yeah. If we play Boston, that's going to be going for the conference.
That is the only team. If the Islanders somehow get in and it's a brand new season, brand new tournament, like, we play very good playoff hockey, that is the one team I do not want to play is Boston.
You know who I really want? I just want to see that series. I want to see Washington. We're probably going to lose, but that would be such a killer series.
Yeah, there's a good chance. Anything but Isles Philly, man. I'll have to move. I like my girlfriend, but one of us is gonna murder the other one.
We can
beat them too.
We can beat them if we get. We don't have any goaltending. Our goaltending sucks.
But we can beat Philly because they're not fast. They're just
not
big.
We got Sorokin.
If Sorokin plays, we could beat anybody, and I'll stand by that. I think this kid's gonna be magic.
Oh, I hope.
Well, all right. Well, listen, since we're at the end here, I have to call out my cousin Brianna, because she listens to every episode, and she wanted a call out. So I'm really pushing her to the limit. Lana, if you made it this far, you're a super fan. And thank you for listening. So that's my call out. All right, boys, we're ready to take this thing home.
How do you gave her the call out so late? You gotta get everyone to listen to the end, and then maybe get a call out next week, random listener.
Oh yeah, no, we will for sure. All right, well look, thank you for listening. This was a very off the cuff episode because we felt like, you know, sometimes you need some catharsis and you need to just vent. And after this week, that's all we can do. I mean, you can sit here and try to figure out, well, why did they lose 4-0 to the Bruins? Why did they lose 6-2 to the Canadiens? Like, at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to let it out. So thank you for letting us. And hopefully you were screaming at us in your car or in front of your computer also, because we like being yelled at. Clearly, we yell at each other, so we enjoy that. So thank you. Find us on Facebook, the Long Island Sound Podcast. Obviously, the podcast is available on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, Anchor FM. Ben and I love to frequent Twitter. Kenny's afraid of it.
You can yell at us on Twitter, too.
What?
You can yell at us on Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah, please, in all caps. Or do like the fun, do what the fun kids do, where you do, you know, some caps and some lowercase. That's fun. Anyway,
I don't think that means what you think it means, Damon.
I know what it means. And you know what's funny is that there's a realtor in my area who advertises her open houses that way because she thinks it's cool.
That's not how that works, random realtor.
Anyway, Ben's at @LISound_. Make sure that you tweet him with the upper or lowercase because he loves that. I'm at @KaijuBlue13. Ottawa is coming up. God, they better win. You can't lose that game. You cannot lose that game.
You have to dress Johnston.
Yeah, and Ladd, you know, let's get some changes in here. Let's keep putting these great wingers out there.
So, you know who dress is Pajot.
Yes. Oh yeah.
By the way, like, I'm totally not being sarcastic.
I'm not either.
I got crickets for that one. Yeah.
You did. On that note, later.